right? I'll start just by reading a few of the scriptures that I would like to use this morning. A few verses, first of all, from Philippians. I guess I'm going to say like this, you know, the one thing needed more than anything else is to know Christ, experience Christ, and express Christ. The one thing needed is to know, experience, and express Christ. Philippians 1:21 says like this, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." 3 verse 10 says, "That I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share in his sufferings, becoming like him, that if by any means I may attain the resurrection from the dead." Verse 17 of chapter 3, "Join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we give you." Are we going to get verse 18 there? Nope. All right, don't worry. I can read it. Alright. Okay, it's okay. I can read it just from here anyway. Verse 18, it says, "For many of whom I have often told you, and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction, their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame with minds set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. Therefore, my brothers, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, that is how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends." Another scripture, Leviticus chapter 1. Now, I know what you're thinking. Reading Leviticus can be a wee bit like going to Portrush in the middle of winter when it's half day, all the shops are closed and Barry's is closed, only less interesting. But actually, this is also the Word of God. Just a few little verses from Leviticus. I don't know if we're going to get that on screen, but don't worry. Oh, there you go. "The Lord called to Moses and spoke to him from the tent of meeting. He said, 'Speak to the Israelites and say to them, when any of you brings an offering to the Lord, bring as your offering an animal from either the herd or the flock. If the offering is a burnt offering from the herd, that would be a bull. He is to offer a male without defect. He must present it to the tent of meeting.'" A little bit further down, chapter 1, verse 9, it says, 9.5. "If it is a burnt offering, an offering made by fire, an aroma pleasing to the Lord. If the offering is a burnt offering from the flock, that would be a sheep or a goat. He is to offer a male without defect." And on down to verse 13.5. We've done that. Verse 14, we've done. Verse 17. "If the offering..." Go back one verse there. Verse 14. "If the offering to the Lord is a burnt offering of birds, he is to offer a dove or a young pigeon." And the very last phrase of that chapter, "an offering by fire, an aroma pleasing to the Lord." What on earth has this got to do with Philippians, you're all thinking? Well, I think this is going to be helpful for us, as you will see. I have two titles this morning. First one I've already alluded to. The one thing needed more than anything else is to know, experience, and express Christ. My other title, and I've sort of got this from Leviticus, is it a bird? Is it a goat? Is it a bull? No, it's even more wonderful than that. I have a dilemma in a lot of my life, and it's because, and many of us have this dilemma as well, we're people helpers. In medicine, you're trying to help people. In the pastoral ministry, you're trying to help people. In life, you're trying to help people. If you have any relationships with people you care about, we're always trying to help people. We're people helpers. And there is a thing I've come across, and it's when you're helping people, there's a dilemma or controversy, and it goes something like this. Should we help people's actual felt needs, or do we help their real needs? Now this is a dilemma for us because felt needs are very important to people. Everyone in this room has got a felt need this morning. It could be you're worried about money, could be you don't have enough sleep, might be the mortgage, might be work, might be conflict, might be all kinds of problems. Sickness. Have any of us got felt needs here? Is it just me? I have felt needs. And what we understand with this term, real needs, is that sometimes the real needs that we have are actually not the superficial needs, it's the deep needs. We need what God knows we really, really need. And I have a dilemma. When we're helping people or when we're preaching a message, do we aim to help felt needs or real needs? Praise God, we can meet both. We can meet both.
Amen.
But the one thing needed is to know Christ, experience Christ, and express Christ. Can I encourage us this morning with this message? Amen. Yes? Can I also have permission to challenge us this morning? Yes, amen. So be it. I came across a book that Paul Crawford lent me, the rascal, and it was about personal growth and personal development. And in this book, it was by a guy called John Maxwell. He gave something like 20,000 keys to personal growth. You know that sort of book. Actually, it was 7. And one of them was one that went something like this. If you want to grow in your life, right, you want to get better at being a parent, better at work, better at football, better at art, better at people skills, think we all want to get better at something. If you want to grow and get better, be comfortable with being uncomfortable. When I first read that, I thought, that's so cheesy. As I began to think about it, as I began to look at Philippians and the Apostle Paul, as I began to look at my own life, I've discovered that it is actually a good thing to be comfortable with being uncomfortable because it challenges us to go further and go deeper in our walk with the Lord, in our enjoyment of Christ, in our experience of Christ. I like Robert's talk last week. He was challenging us not to settle, but to pioneer. And there are certain people in life who I'm learning to be comfortable about being made uncomfortable by them. There are some people, and they're called evangelists, and I think one or two jumped up earlier, and a part of the thing I appreciate about evangelists, they make me feel uncomfortable that I care enough about the lost. They're not as precious to me as they are to the Lord. It's good to be comfortable with being uncomfortable and to be challenged. And one of the things that really makes me a little bit uncomfortable is Paul's extreme passion to know Christ, experience Christ, and express Christ. I came across something in Colossians where Paul describes his ministry to helping people, discipling people, teaching people, and he describes it, it's as if it's the pain of childbirth. I said, slow down, Paul. Is there such a thing as men experiencing the pain of childbirth? There's only one thing worse than the pain of childbirth, correct me if I'm wrong, ladies, and that's watching someone you love going through the pains of childbirth. But it's always good in the end, isn't it? Because there's a rich reward. But you know, that makes me feel a bit uncomfortable that Paul would say, I am so passionate, so serious about you, my friends, these little local churches becoming more and more like Christ. It's like I cannot settle myself. It's like the pains of childbirth. And I was asking myself the question, do I really feel the passion that I want my hearers, or the people I'm influencing, to know Christ, to experience Christ and express Christ to the extent that it feels a little bit like childbirth? I have to be honest, I'm probably just having an occasional Braxton Hicks. and people tell you that Braxton Hicks are not painful, but sometimes they are a wee bit sore, aren't they? But, you know, there is something in my heart that I would love to take seriously the Word of God. I would love to know Christ, that I could feel something of that passion and desire, that I really want people to know him, experience him, and express him, that it's a real desire and a passion. And that's one of the things I really like about this book of Philippians. It is so full of life, full of joy, and full of passion. But the one thing needed is what I'm saying this morning, is to know Christ better, experience Christ more, and express him more. I gave a strange title, subsidiary title. It says, is it a bird? Is it a goat? Or is it a bull? In Leviticus, they gave a burnt offering. We no longer give burnt offerings. But did you know that the Lord Jesus Christ fulfills the offerings? And in those days, some people could not afford a bull. They would give a goat. And some people couldn't afford a goat. They would give a bird. But if you gave a bird by faith, it was acceptable as a burnt offering. If you had a little bit more resources, you could give a goat. If you had a lot of resources, you could give a bull. And here's my question this morning. How big is your Christ? How big is your knowing of Christ, experiencing Christ, and expressing Christ? Don't be ridiculous, Stephen. We can't make Jesus Christ any bigger. Of course we can't. He's the Son of God. He's a person. He's on the throne. We know that. But you know, our experience of Christ can get bigger. Our enjoyment of Christ can get bigger. Our expressing of Christ can get bigger. It says in the Psalms, magnify the Lord. I used to struggle with that picture. How can we magnify the Lord, make the Lord bigger? He can't get any bigger, but my understanding of him, my vision of him, my enjoyment of him, my trust of him can certainly get bigger and bigger and bigger. And the Lord is encouraging us and exhorting us not to settle, to go for gold, to cut deep with God, to let his word cut deep, to thirst for his spirit, to desire him. Magnify the Lord. I wonder if you've got any problems this morning. Have you any difficulties, any trials? Are they like mountains? Are they like giant mountains? I've discovered when you get into an aeroplane and you fly above the mountains, and if you fly high enough, the mountains look really, really small. The bigger Christ is, the smaller the enemy looks. The smaller the mountains look, the smaller the trials look. The bigger Christ to be enjoyed, the more grace, the more mercy. One of the things I do is I say, look to the right, let's all do that. Look to the left, let's all do that. Now look both ways at the same time. You can't do it. And there's something about seeing Christ. The focus is on Christ. The desire is on Christ. It's the seeking heart is towards Christ. And aren't there promises that if we seek him with our whole heart, we'll find him? Aren't there promises if you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these other things will be added unto it? Yeah. Was there a testimony that suggested that when you seek the Lord, he takes good care of the other things? Yeah. And I found that in life, that it's when I learn to seek the Lord in the midst of the situation that you can be prepared for a move of God, a visitation of God. Christ is absolutely fantastic. But the one thing is, to know Christ more was Paul's desire. I hope it's my desire. I believe it's many of our desires to experience Christ more. And I want to underline that word experience. Paul experienced Christ. He said things like, I can do everything through Christ who strengthens me. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Paul did not just have a theoretical understanding of this wonderful person. he had a growing day by day, moment by moment, experience and pursuing of Christ. I remember when I first initially came to know the Lord, I was coming into my teens. I was, I think, around 12, 13 years old, and I'd been to church all my life. I'd been brought up to go to church, and I went to Sunday school, I went to the CA, and I'm going to tell you something, I actually hated a lot of those things. I was bored out of my skull. By the way, it's okay if our kids get bored. Sometimes children don't know what's best for them. Did you know that? One of the reasons that, with parents, I just want to encourage you. The reason you're a parent and your child's not a parent is you probably are the adult. You probably know more things than them. And I value my parents who, in spite of my rebellion, in spite of my boredom, they enabled me and encouraged me to do these things. And something happened as I came into my teens. The seed that was in me burst forth, and I discovered a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and my life has never been the same again.
Yeah.
I want to say that you have to start somewhere in this relationship. You have to start somewhere in this pursuing Christ. And when I discovered, when I first came to the Lord, there was some, and I think this is going to be true of a lot of us, even in those early days, God sometimes puts something in you at the beginning that acts like a foundation for the rest of your life. And in my heart, as a teenager, was birthed a desire to lead other people to Christ, to know Him in the very same way I knew Him then. I found that all my sins were forgiven. I got peace in my heart, and I knew where I was going. And I had an assurance that God was my Father. And I've never lost that. It's sometimes been dulled and diluted, but I've never lost that sense of when I came to know the Lord, that experience became a foundation of what makes me tick.
Yeah.
But listen, it didn't stop then, it only started. I was challenging myself recently, and I was saying, you like to lead people to the Lord so they get their sins forgiven. What about leading people to the Lord as the source of peace when you're under pressure, as the source of joy when your circumstances are difficult, as the one who gives you strength when you're weak? Could you lead people to the Lord that you are currently enjoying and experiencing? And you can actually say, I know God's alive and He's real today. Because this morning He helped me overcome an anxiety. Because today He answered my prayer. And that's the thing about knowing Christ. There's more to know. There's more to experience. There's more to enjoy. Paul talked about joy all over Philippians, didn't he? Chapter 1, verse 4. He talked about peace in chapter 4, verse 7. He talked about energy. Do you ever find you need energy? There's days I've begun to work, and I've literally said to God, it's not just I don't feel like doing this. I don't have the energy to do this. But there is a Christ, and there is a promise. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, who gives me energy, who can quicken my mortal body. I want to encourage us to go deeper in knowing Christ and experience Christ and enjoying Christ. Some of us are a bit like with Christ. We get a Christmas box and we play with the box. But really what we should do is we should unpack the box and enjoy the contents. There's so much more to this wonderful person. Look at Paul. He knew Christ more than any of us. And he said his goal was to know Christ. I want to encourage you also, as I have already alluded to, in the particular situations you're in life, maybe it's an addiction, Christ is enough. Christ is enough. And if you can demonstrate that, you can bring hope to other people in addictions. If you're facing stresses in life, I don't care what they are, there is a Christ to experience and a joy in that very situation. I'm a generalist, I'm not a specialist, but generalists have a tendency to be cynical about specialists, but when it comes to counselling people, I'm a generalist, not a specialist, but what the specialists tell us is that when you're counselling someone when they're under stress, you shouldn't normalise their experience. What does that mean? Well, for example, suppose, can I pick a new Robin, just hypothetically? Suppose Robin has experienced something that's really, really tough. What I'm encouraged not to say is, that's normal. The minute I say what you're experiencing is normal, the counselor will tell us that you are devaluing what they're saying, you're not empathizing with what they're saying. And I think sometimes there's a bit of wisdom in that. But here is some spiritual, biblical, cognitive behavioral therapy. You see that problem you have? Many of God's people have discovered Christ to be the solution, to be the help, to be the wisdom, to be the energy, to be the overcomer that you need. And if he does it for others, he'll do it for you. He can do it for you. And I find that even in my own life. So I want to encourage us. The real need is to know Christ better, to experience Christ more, and to express him more. There's a phrase I love, and it's this: he's the all-sufficient Christ. I love that. One more thing to share by way of encouragement and challenge. I have to say this has got a capital C to it. We want to know Christ more, we want to experience Christ more, but we want to express Christ more. We want to demonstrate his life and demonstrate his spirit, demonstrate his character. And it's interesting to me that there's one other thing that Paul gives us, there's one other thing the Bible gives us, Philippians gives us, to help us in our experiencing Christ and expressing Christ. I'm not going to tell you what it is just yet. Keep on your edge of the seat. I mean, he's given us his word. You would think that would be enough. He has given us his spirit. You would think that would be enough. But he's given us something else in verse 17 of chapter 3 and verse 9 of chapter 4. He's given us models and examples to follow. And this is what we need. Ordinary men and women who take God at his word, who experience the Spirit of God, but who can live it out in such a way that other people can follow the example, follow the model, and see that it works. I want to encourage us as we pursue to know Christ more, to experience Christ more, express Christ more, find models in life that you can honor and learn from. And value them. I praise God that I have examples in life of people who have been faithful, people who have been better at me than praying, people who are examples to me in different areas of life, whether it's family life, work life, but there is something about models that we can learn from, that we can honor. And it's a good thing. It's a good thing. That's why church has got to be family. It's got to be more than meetings. It's got to be more than contexts like this. How can we model things for one another if people don't see how we live every day at home, how we drive the car, how we work, how we kick people playing football, or whatever it is. There's something about modeling and being an example that people need. Sometimes we think, oh, throw them a Bible. Tell them that they can do all things through Christ. Yes, but people also need examples and models. So find them and honor them. And as part of that, be a model for other people. It's time, church, body of Christ, that we get Jesus a good name and a good reputation. It's time in our workplaces, in our communities, in our families, that we're learning to be an example or a model of somebody who gets Jesus a good name. And just on that, as personal testimony, you might call it, one's a positive thing and one's a negative thing that I find it help being challenged to, could we be among those who Paul could say, keep your eye on those who walk according to the example. The positive is this, and we all have our weaknesses, we all have our particular past, we all have our particular struggles. But one of the things I complained a lot to the Lord about growing up, even currently I sometimes complain to the Lord, is I complain to the Lord about the personality type he's given me. I'm quiet, shy, lack confidence, feel like on the outside looking in. My passion is to speak to people, relate to people, to preach and teach. And I'm just struggling every time, Lord, because I just have no self-confidence. And I'm complaining about it. But here's the thing. There's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people just like that. And someone somewhere with that issue needs to find that Christ is enough, Christ is sufficient, but through his Spirit I can do anything. And it brings hope and encouragement to other people. But you know something? We all have things like that in our lives. Don't we? I mean, think of all those other Newcastle United supporters, Daniel, who need to overcome the disgrace and the pain and the anguish and still be at church worshipping God. That brings hope to those five supporters, right? Sorry to pick on you there. But you know, you get my point. That the very thing that you're struggling with becomes your testimony. Becomes the thing that gives hope to other people. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? It's fantastic. So that's the positive side. That's why I think someone said it earlier, it's so important to be thankful. So you know, I start to thank God for my personality. I start to thank God for my struggles, my insecurities, and how God has helped me with that. And my mindset changes, my thought life changes, I'm renewed in my thinking. That's all in the Bible too, isn't it? But here's the negative thing about being a model. And Robert, you've helped me with this. One of the reasons why I resist temptation is because I think, if I fall into that, how is that going to impact people who look up to me? What if my patients see me, you know? I know it's a silly thing, but his reputation is so important to me that acts as a deterrent. Just to be a wee bit careful, a wee bit, you know, Stephen, just be careful, but this is true of us all, because we are all tempted in different areas. And here's a word of knowledge, not really a word of knowledge, every single person in this room is tempted in all kinds of things. That's the truth. But there is no temptation that is not common to man. And with the temptation, there is a way of escape. And that helps to keep us clear, keep us focused, and keep us clean. And so, am I about to land, Tom? The one thing needed is to know Christ better, express Christ, enjoy Christ, and experience Christ. Is it a bird? Is it a goat? Is it a bull? No. It's the greatest, kindest, most powerful, most wonderful person in the universe who lives in us. Paul so believed that he went around like a pregnant woman, travailing. You can come into the experience of this. Amen.